God's grace is yours. His peace is yours. His mercy belongs to you, all because he is indeed our good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Dear fellow redeemed. Picture Jesus as your good shepherd. We are his sheep. It's one of the most common and comforting images in all of Scripture. But I think we probably miss the full emotional punch of the picture. At least we don't get as much emotional punch out of it as the original Bible readers did. Because I don't know any Israeli shepherds. I've never met one, and I don't really understand what their life is like. In America, things about raising sheep are a little different. If you have any experience raising sheep, and so you Google, this is what pastors do on Good Shepherd Sunday. This is what we do. We Google Psalm 23 and then click the image button to see what pictures the internet has for the sheep in Psalm 23. And this is the kind of thing you see. Sheep laying down in lush green pastures, more than they could ever eat, right? That's not what the country of Israel looks like. Right? They don't have rolling meadows of green upon green, at least not enough for all the sheep. No, Israel looks a little different. It's a dry and rocky country. This is a picture of actual Israel, where sheep have to be moved from one stony hill to the next stony hill. And green pastures in Israel means that there's a few sprigs of green that pop up between the stones, and the sheep got to look for them and eat them up. They're constantly moving. They're constantly in danger. Because at any moment, if the hunger doesn't get them, and if they don't step off the side of a cliff and go down, there's always the hungry predators who are ready to devour them. That's why Israeli shepherds and ancient Bible shepherds, they spent every moment of their lives providing for and protecting and preserving sheep. Can you picture what a good shepherd would look like in these conditions? What a good shepherd would be like? He would be sleepless, farsighted, always scanning the horizon for what's coming. He would be weather-beaten, always armed, always armed. He leans on his staff and he looks out over sheep who depend on him for everything, everything. No American independence there. These sheep are completely dependent on their shepherd. That's what we think of, that shepherd in your brain when we hear, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That he does those same things for us. He provides, he protects, and he preserves us. First of all, good shepherds provide for us. This is what it says. Let's read this together from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Good shepherds provide all that we need, and our good shepherd provides all that we need. Yesterday, we had confirmation. 26 young people put on their white robes and sat in these pews with their families, and they confessed their faith, and we reviewed what we probably all memorized at one point in the first article of the Apostles' Creed about how God provides for us like a good shepherd. We always say in the Apostles' Creed, God is the creator of heaven and earth. And in Luther's explanation, he gave me my body and soul. He gave me my eyes and my ears and all my members, all my abilities. And he still provides clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, everything I need. God is the one who provides us with everything we need. And it's not just our physical needs, is it? God also provides all we need spiritually. The psalm says, he restores my soul. We talk about souls in catechism class with confirmation students too. We talk about the human soul. And my human soul, yours too, is evil by nature. We inherit it from moms and dads. I got sin from my parents, and I'm currently in the process of passing my sin down to the next generation, a baby that'll be born in July. That's what's wrong with the world, is that humans are evil. And so we learn to confess in catechism class, I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or my own choosing, believe in Jesus or come to him. I'm too evil for that. But what has your good shepherd done? You remember how the explanation of the third article goes? The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. The good news of Jesus, that's what rescues us. The good news that Jesus died on the cross to pay for human evil, that is like a drink of cool water for a parched soul. That restores, refreshes my soul. The good shepherd, he provides all we need physically, all we need spiritually. How does he do it? Can you picture what God's shepherding looks like in your life? I bet you don't have to use your imagination. Just look around the people who help you. With confirmation students, I told them, just look at mom and dad who provide food and a warm place to sleep. Look at your teachers and your pastors who provide for you the good news of Jesus on a regular basis. And for you to look around your life and say, who takes care of me? We like to have a fierce independence once in a while, but the reality is we'd all be goners if we were the only ones in this town, right? You get the benefit of the earthly shepherds who work at the grocery store, who work on the farms, who help you with your clothes and your needs. God provides through all kinds of people, the hard work, the hearts, the hands, the hugs of people around you. So rather than think of all of them, can you picture in your mind just one person? One person from your present or your past who took care of you, who you depended on, an earthly shepherd who stood in the place of Jesus to take care of you. Those are special people. And if you have an opportunity to say thank you to one of them, how wonderful. If you don't have that opportunity right now, then maybe today you say thank you to Jesus for providing such loving shepherds this side of heaven. The good shepherd provides all that we need, but more than that. Remember how verse 4 goes? He protects us. Let's read this one. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think maybe I heard a few of you bristle at that second line up there, right? Because you're used to saying something else. I put the new version up. What were you used to saying? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Same thing for a sheep, though. The darkest valley is the deadliest valley. The dark is where predators can hide out in the shadows, and the dark is where you can't see where you're putting your little hoof, and maybe you'll go down. And the dark is where the shepherd becomes essential for survival. And that's where the shepherd protects us. Did you notice that whatever version of the psalm you read, whatever version, King James or old one or new one, we started by talking in third person pronouns for grammar nerds. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. We're talking about Jesus. He provides me cool water. But when we get to the scary valley, we're not talking about Jesus anymore, are we? We're talking right to him. You are with me. Your rod and staff, they come for me. It's like Jesus and you, you're the only two people in the whole universe. That's because in the dark, scary parts of life, faith gets real personal. All of us get sick. And when we do, it's not enough to talk about Jesus. You want to be with that God who designed the human body. All of us at some point have to say farewell or goodbye to people that we love. And when we do, it's good to be close to the one who guarantees that we'll have a reunion. Not even death can stop our reunion. When you're in the darkest parts of the valley, it's important to be close to the good shepherd. That's where the shepherd in your life becomes essential. And Jesus, in our lives, he does protect us. He does. That's what policemen do and policewomen, and that's what firefighters do. That's what doctors are for. They defend us and protect us from the evil in this world that would hurt us. But they don't stop all of it, do they? we all still face tragedies. And when we do, then God sends other shepherds to guard and protect your heart. He sends Christian family and friends, Christian pastors, Christian encouragement, so that you can say, even in the middle of the dark valley, Jesus, I know you are with me. When you know that, and only when you know that Jesus is with you, can you say, I will not fear. God provides everything for us, and he protects us in the scariest parts of our lives, but that's not all. He also preserves us. Let's read this middle part of the psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Doesn't that sound nice? To go to God's house and have an all-you-can-eat buffet. And even though the enemies are trying to get you, there's enemies there. We would probably be afraid, right? But God's not afraid. He's throwing a picnic. He says, this looks like a great spot for a meal. And he sets a table in the presence of enemies. And you've got a cup that overflows with your favorite drink forever. That's awesome. And that's going to be our whole reality someday. In heaven, we're going to have nothing but blessing after blessing after blessing. And in part, we experience it here on earth. In part, right? But until we get there, God has promised to preserve us, to preserve us in our faith. And that's how he finishes the psalm. Let's read this last part together. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In English, we say, goodness and love follow me. In Hebrew, they say, goodness and love chase me. It's a little more aggressive. They chase after me, hot on my heels, and we need a God who chases us. I looked at those confirmands yesterday, and I told them this, that if you read the studies that have been done by the Wisconsin Synod headquarters or the Missouri Synod or even some of the non-Lutheran groups, if you read the studies about how many confirmation students stay in church, about one half stay, and about one half wander off. That's scary. That's why we need a God who chases after us. I think when young people, or old people, for any age, when people wander away from church and wander away from the Good Shepherd, they are thinking of the small things that they leave, right? I didn't like the music that day, or I don't think the services are a convenient time, or they don't have the thing that I wanted from my church. They're thinking of the small things. But I think, what about the big thing that you're walking away from? The Good Shepherd, the one who made you, the one who sacrificed his life for you. You know God. You know God. You know the one who, I try to put it in terms that an eighth grader would appreciate. You know the guy who invented chicken and chocolate and friendship and romance and laughter. You know the guy who made those things and provides them for you. And if that weren't enough, he saw that earth was not all happiness and joy, and so he came as the person Jesus and became part of our mess. More than that, took responsibility for it and paid punishment for it so that you and I can look forward to a banquet that never ends in heaven. You know the guy who did that for you, and he knows you, and he wants to meet with you personally every week in a room like this one. And still, one half of young people choose not to get to know him, choose to wander. It's scary. Puts a lot of pressure on young people. Because spiritually speaking, they're entering on the most dangerous portion of their entire lives. And parents are too. Do you know the number one predictor for which students will stay in church and stay close to Jesus? It's not their grades. It doesn't matter who gets the best grades. It's not their examination. We had examination, put microphones up here, and the kids had to answer questions about Jesus. It's not the ones who have the best answers that stay. It's when mom and dad are also close to Jesus. Dad, you're most important. I love my mom and my dad equally, right? But the statistics do not. The statistics tell me that my father is always going to be the most influential spiritual mentor in my life. And if a dad of one of our confirmation students would leave the church or leave Jesus and wander away, the risk factor for that kid goes through the roof. And if mom is also absent, it's even higher. So it's scary for moms and dads, as they are the earthly shepherds who stand in the place of Jesus. You know what happens when a sheep wanders away from its shepherd? A lot of things can happen. None of them are good. They get devoured. And that's how a little wandering for young people or old people or any people, a little wandering can put you on the road that ends in hell. But do you know how Jesus feels about those who wander? Heard a story about an Israeli shepherd. I don't know any Israeli shepherds, but I heard this story. He found a sheep who wandered off, and he approaches him with the shepherd's staff, right? This curved, gentle thing that's supposed to comfort and pull the sheep back into the fold. He approaches this wandering sheep, and he reaches out his staff, and then he winds up, and he just clobbers the poor little thing in the ribs, doof, like that. How dare you leave? So many people think that's what Jesus is doing, that he knows what bad thing you did, and he knows how long it's been since you tuned into our live stream, and he knows how long it's been, and he knows how bad you are, and he's just waiting to clobber you once he gets the chance. That's our conscience speaking. That's the devil in our hearts telling us a lie about Jesus. That's not good shepherding, and that's not your Jesus. What does the psalm tell you? The psalm tells you something else. Goodness and love follow you all the days of your life. Jesus is chasing after you, but not with his fist raised, with his arms open. Jesus is coming after you with love and goodness. If you're here every week, he's going to come after you with love from the pulpit and love from Christian friends. And if you wander off, he's going to come after you with love and love and love all the days of your life. So that's what your church family does too. We've got a whole crew of people whose job at church is to show the love of God to people who have been away for a while. Jesus and your good shepherd will show you the love of God, because that's the only thing that can preserve you in faith until eventually you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how Jesus deals with wandering sheep, and that's how we do too. That's what a good shepherd does. He provides everything we need. He protects us from evil, and he preserves us with his love. Can you picture your Jesus like we did at the beginning? He's standing here in this room, invisible, but he's here, far-sighted, weather-beaten, sleepless, always armed, all for you. All for you. That's the shepherd that we line up to follow as his sheep. You ready? You're ready. Let's follow him. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel, or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.